inside the off stump. Oh, he's caught it! I don't believe it! Tom Coler-Cadmore has caught the most magnificent catch. That short third man is the end of Daniel Sams, and Somerset have won the Vitality Blast 2023. They've bowled Essex out for 131.
Hello there, you're listening to Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. This is the Somerset Cricket Podcast. My name's Ian Shepherd, and joining me on the eve of the county championship season, I've got journalist and broadcaster Harry Everett, club president Sir Peter Wanless, and of course the voice of cricket on BBC Radio Somerset for a probably about a 50th or 60th consecutive season. It is, of course, Anthony Gibson, who is looking forward to commentating from a proper commentary box at Taunton this season. But first, Gibbo, you will be down the road to Canterbury, for it is against Kent who Somerset start their Vitality. I need to say the Vitality Blast County Championship, which should be a hell of a competition. It is, of course, the Vitality County Championship this year. Starting down the road at Canterbury on Friday, then at the Oval a week later. We requested our first two games be away, just to give the outfield, which was relaid in the winter, a bit of extra time to bed down and not have the beach and bog situation that we had towards the start of last season. But I popped up yesterday for the pre-season game against Exeter University, and I have to say it is money well spent and work very well done, because given the fact that it hasn't stopped raining since the middle of September last year, the outfield was pretty good. As soon as it stopped raining, they were more or less able to get back on. The umpires were a little bit slow, as they always seem to be at Taunton, in getting everybody, all the players back on. Harry, you popped up for a little bit and you've been catching up with that game. What did you make of the pre-season draw against Exeter University and other bits that have gone on throughout the winter?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I nearly tweeted, actually, a side-by-side pick of the ground last year when we were talking about the beach in front of the Triscothic and the Andy Caddick Pavilion and the heat lamps. And this year, I reckon there's been a lot more rain this spring than even last spring. And yeah, fair play, you're right, as I say, that the drainage looks a lot better. So to get 3 days of cricket in, I thought was a blooming good effort. And we got to find out a lot more in this last 3 days than I thought we would. Before the game started, I was pretty confident on my 11. Now with the potential, I was commentating when Tom Abel had that little hamstring niggle and walked straight off the pitch. Well, yeah, I take responsibility. I'd probably tipped him as my player of the season as well. So, yeah, that's a massive loss, of course. But we don't know how long for. We don't know how serious it is yet. But without TKC and with Lewis Goldsworthy and Tom Banton neither doing masses in this match, suddenly Ben Green, for me, comes right into the reckoning. And if Tom Abel might not bat, let alone bowl, I think if Tom Abel does even play as a batter, he's not going to bowl if he's got a hamstring worry. And we didn't see Tom Lamonby very much. So I actually think I'm now sort of changed my thought, and I think Ben Green top six, because we know Andy Mead's out with a hand injury as well, and TKC's in the IPL.
Yeah, just to warn you, listener, Harry's on the way back from watching probably his 25th football match in the last fortnight, so he may drop out for as signals come and signals go. I absolutely agree with you, Harry. Gibbo, Peter, did you keep up with much of the pre-season game? Gibbo, were you glued to the live stream?
No, I wasn't. I watched a bit of it. I have to say, I wasn't very encouraged by what I saw, with Lewis Gregory not bowling much at all, Craig Overton bowling at sort of half pace, Tom Abel doing his hamstring again. Is it left one or the right one, Harry? Anyway,
he's
got a history of hamstring problems, and I'd be surprised. Yeah. I'd be very surprised if he plays against Kent. And you know, the batting does look for. We've only got the one overseas, Matt Renshaw, who's a good player, and is a bit of a like for like replacement by TKC in character, as well as the way he approaches batting, but. You know, is Ned Leonard going to play against Kent? I don't know. I mean, Kent are one of the two sides that all the pundits are predicting are likely to go down alongside Worcestershire. So this is a game we really ought to win. But I've got an awful feeling that we're going to go into it undercooked again, as we have done, you know, early season for the last umpteen years, got off to a bad start, and then it's been a struggle thereafter. And in all honesty, you know, that performance against Exeter University didn't fill me with huge amounts of optimism.
Well, there we are. Season hasn't even started, and Gibbo's relegated. I do have to say, I read the cricket paper the other week, and this fellow Doug Gibson, he seems to have a bit more positivity than you, Anthony, so I'm not sure who he is.
That's because he hardly ever watches Somerset.
I assume this is a typo, and it is your good self who is...
No, it's not me. No, it's no relation, nothing to do with me at all.
Is it not?
No.
Who is it then?
Doug Gibson.
Well, it's just when it says the view from the commentary box and the surname's Gibson, I kind of naturally assumed that unless you're winding me up...
No, least... I did the view for the commentary box on the Somerset website. That's me. Mm-hmm. But Doug Gibson in The Cricketer is not me.
Well, he's never been in the commentary box. So how can he have a view from it?
Unless it was on the media day on Thursday, there were a load of journalists, so I've never seen it again. It was a bit bizarre, really. It was almost like a who's who. You have all the regulars that we all know each other, and then suddenly four or five journalists come down wanting to speak to Bashir and Leach about England. And, yeah, unless it's... I don't know, to be honest with you, but I just thought it was a bit random, all these people coming down.
Well,
just the one there. That why don't you come down for a day when there's play here?
I think you need to be firing out an email here, because everyone else, we've got Dave Bracegirdle, Mark Church, Jonathan Deutsch, all the usual suspects of preview in their counties.
Oh, yeah. So where's that appeared then?
The cricket paper. There you are.
Oh, perhaps I haven't seen it.
Doug Gibson. Oh,
perhaps it is just a misprint in that case. Yeah. Sorry, I thought it was in The Cricketer.
I'll read your words out.
Because there is a preview in The Cricketer by Richard Gibson.
Oh, how many bloody Gibsons are there? For Somerset, Gibson, not only to win the Blast for the first time since 2005, is this sounding familiar?
Yeah.
Oh, anyway. He does say he very much enjoys working with Dave Bracegirdle, so I presume it was you. But, where are we? Oh, yeah, you were saying that you weren't particularly infused by the performance against Exeter University. Mr. President, how was your experience of watching the game as much as you could over the last few days?
I watched none of the game, so I'm not full disillusioned by the performance, because I saw none of it. In the run-up to last season, I only asked one question over and over again at various committee meetings, which about the state of the outfield. And this year I've only asked one question, which is, what are we going to do differently to make sure we get off to a different sort of start this season from the one we got off to for the last few seasons? So I trust the process, and very much looking forward to us getting off to a flying start on Friday. It's just down the road for me, so that's very good of them to put it on at Canterbury at first game of the season. We have had so much rain here, it's untrue. So who knows what the state of the Canterbury pitch will be. They have been playing there over the last couple of days. So I think Ken haven't got a lot of bowling, have they? That's their issue. They didn't manage to bowl Loughborough out in the game they've been playing over the last couple of days. So I think they can score quite a lot of runs, but whether they can take wickets will be the issue from Kent's point of view. So let's hope we get our heads down, bat long, and see where we go.
Yeah, that bowler looked pretty ropey in the game towards the back end of last season.
Yeah, TKC. I think that's one of the weakest County Championship Division 1 attacks I've seen, to be honest with you.
TKC.
TKC whacked it everywhere.
TKC got...
Mason Gilchrist. He got...
Yeah, Gilchrist will come back to haunt us,
Canterbury, and got beaten by an innings, as I remember.
But Goldsworthy got 100 in that game, didn't he? So that's... thinking he'll probably get a chance, even though he didn't do much against Exeter University. That's a positive to think of.
Yeah,
I did. I managed to watch quite a bit of it. Very impressed with Ben Green. I dug out a tweet that I put out a couple of years ago with a couple of freeze frames of Green. His bat's coming down a bit scissory, from sort of 1.5 slips, and then I had a little freeze frame today. He seems to be playing the ball much straighter, so whenever I notice something like that, as I do with the George Bartletts, I always get a little bit excited that a player's not necessarily listened to me, but has picked up on what I've picked up on.
I noticed he played down the ground, like you say, down the ground really straight. I think he had 3 fours in a row, straight drive, so mid-on, mid-off. He's on 22 off 14 without really playing a big risky shot in the air. Then he was on 40 off 22. I mean, this is, yes, it's a short boundary. Yes, it's Exeter University, but he was scoring really quickly with just punchy, positive shots, which Banton didn't manage to do. Lamonby scored runs, but not quickly necessarily. I think that was a positive for me with Ben Green. He's not done masses in the Championship. That COVID year, he had a bit of a go when Barham and Lamonby were playing. There was no overseas, but I thought he was a bit of a white ball, sort of flat track bully, maybe with a bat sometimes. People say, you know, he can't play the red ball moving ball, but some of the Exeter University bowlers were getting a bit of swing with it. You know, mm-hmm. Charlesworth played for Gloucester in the Championship last year. They're not terrible as pre-season friendly warm-up games go. So I think that is a massive, massive positive. Green took his chance, and Banton and Goldsworthy didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I've said for a couple of years now that Green is, I think he's a, if he's got to play Championship cricket, he needs to be in a sort of a Collingwood role at 5 or 6 and bowling a few overs. And I think, you know, he's definitely thrown his hat into the ring now for selection on Friday. I mean, Banton and Goldsworthy didn't look in any kind of nick at all. You know, I always felt quite sorry for Tom Banton when he came back to have another go. I could imagine Polly frantically trying to work out how to put him back in on play cricket as the scoreboard froze on the live stream. And then, you know, he got one again. A little concern I've got as well is Gregory just bowled the 4 overs in the Exeter second innings. It kind of leads me to believe that he's going to be bowling a bit like Stokes is for England, yeah. i.e. not very much.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think I've been saying that all winter. I think he's going to turn into more and more of a batter. Like you say, that Stokes role, just 4 or 5 overs. I mean, he doesn't need to. He knows he can bowl. He's the captain, mm-hmm. so he doesn't need to prove anything mm-hmm. in the Exeter University warm-up game. Is of course a fairly big factor, but I think it will be Ben Stokes' spells that will be pivotal. But hopefully, we've got enough other bowling options that we can manage that, and he can still get enough runs at 7.
I mean, for me, it's more a case of loading yourself up and getting your body physically ready for bowling 15 overs a day in a Championship game. So. I mean, don't know what he's been doing in the background. He may have been, you know, having some good sessions. Maybe, like I say, he is only planning on bowling 6, 7, 8 overs a day. So, who knows that? Craig Overt was a funny one as well, because Jason Kerr said at Media Day that he was kind of out of contention for selection. He wasn't quite ready. Him and Jack Leach were not going to be there. But then he wasn't quite at full pay, at flat out, but he looked reasonable. And I'd probably take half-fit Craig Overton operating at 80% over most of the other bowlers in our side. No disrespect to them, but I think that's not an unfair thing to say. So I don't know. Do you reckon Craig O will take to the field on Friday?
I'd be surprised. I wouldn't think... I mean, it would be daft to take any sort of risk on him, given that he's coming back from quite a serious operation. I would think Jason Kerr will want to be completely satisfied he's 100% match fit before picking him. Same goes for Jack Leach. The ECB won't let Somerset pick Jack Leach unless he's 100% fit. I'm really quite worried about the bowling attack. Craig, when he's fit, force of nature, great. Jack Leach, best spin bowler in the country when he's fit and available. Jake Ball, well, didn't take any wickets against Exeter University. It's hardly the greatest advertisement. And then you've got Casey Aldridge and Ben Green, who are developing very well as batsmen, but not really developing particularly excitingly as bowlers. Josh Davey is getting on a bit. I think we're going to struggle to bowl. It depends on the pitches, like Canterbury, of course. But I think on the face of it, we're going to struggle.
Yeah, especially with no overseas bowler waiting in the wings, and they ain't going to be that easy to come by at this late stage trolley dash time of the season.
which you know is on us in 2 or 3 days' time. So it's going to be difficult.
We got a lot of seamers who can bat, which is we're always going to have a long tail, aren't we?
Yeah.
But then I can't see Ned Leonard playing. He had to play. Was it last year or the year before Hampshire when there was that COVID scare? Gregory and suddenly was out, and then Leonard was in. I'd love to see Aldridge. He looks like he's put on a yard. I think Aldridge is looking quicker, more exciting. Even when I've not been there, I've watched back every ball of the ex-university game. You can fast forward on YouTube, and even watching now as we speak a bit earlier today. And Charlie Tarn's a good player. Looked really good for ex-university. You know, he's on the Somerset books a few years ago, and he didn't look hurried by some of the other bowlers, but Casey was getting him to leap up, and I think Casey could. This could be his breakthrough year. Get him to bat 8 or 9. Well, it depends on the overseas and whether Craig's going to bat ahead of him. But I think Casey will play a big, big part, and he could become our key seamer. And with, as you say, a lot of the other guys have got a lot of injury concerns and are aging.
Yeah, I mean, if we take the Craig Overton and Matt Henry wickets out of what we took in the county championship last year, it's not surprising that Anthony's asking the sort of question of what's the attack look like, but this is the time to step up, isn't it? So, yeah.
Yeah, I'll just let Gibbo back in. Yeah, Ned Leonard seems to have filled out a bit in the shoulder, and he looks to be a little bit quicker as well, I think. So, I don't know, it could be a big year for him as well.
Yeah,
I mean, it's going to have to be, because the way the bowling attack is now, we're not going to get a quality seamer in for the, you know, the full championship, you would have thought. It'd be very difficult to get one in to do the whole of this first batch of 7 games. So these young guys are going to get opportunities, probably Alfie Ogbourne as well. You'd have thought is another one who's looked pretty decent over the winter. So, yeah, we shall see. I've got my side for Friday, assuming everyone is fully fit. So I assume you've all done your homework now. I can see Mr. President frantically scribbling around. I'm sure Gibbo's done his as well. But I'm going Lamanby, Dixon, Abel or Renshaw at 3, and then Renshaw or Abel at 4, depending on which way around them two want to bat. Rue 5, Gregory 6, Green at 7, Aldridge at 8, Overton at 9, Davy 10, and then Leonard or Bashir at 11, depending on the surface.
Okay.
And I'm bringing in Goldsworthy if Abel isn't fit.
I'm doing this all winter as we do. It's all memorised in my brain now. I don't even need to write it down, but I keep changing my mind, because I'd have gone Renshaw and Dixon with Lamanby down at 5, and I'd have had Abel at 3 and hopefully Goldsworthy in form at 4. I then, after the pre-season game, if Abel was fit, I probably wouldn't have picked Goldsworthy or Banton, and I'd have got Green in there. But now Abel's not looking like he's going to play, I'm going to go, I think they will go Lamanby and Dixon, and they've just put Renshaw at 3. But personally, I'd like to see the left right hand combination. And although Lamanby's done well in the batting, I'd quite like him to see him freeing himself up at 5. So I'd go Renshaw and Dixon. Goldsworthy's going to have to fill in at 3 while there's no Abel. 4 could be Lamanby. 4 or 5 makes little odds. And then 5 can be Green, which is potentially one place too high. If you're not going to move James Rue at 6, and you're not going to move Lewis Gregory at 7. Then hopefully you'd have Craig Overton at 8, but that might be a worry, so Casey might have to go up to 8. I'll then have Casey at 8 or 9, and then Josh Davey, Jake Bull, and then I would play Bashir just because we've got a few seamers injuries, and we've got a lot of right arm medium paces who aren't that different. So even though it might not turn, I think you can't necessarily rely on Lewis Goldsworthy's left arm spin to bowl you too many overs. So it's probably worth having Bashir, or otherwise you get left arm of Ogbourne in if it's really not going to turn.
Well, I think it might turn because Kent have signed Matt Parkinson.
Yeah.
And, we'll be pinning a lot of hopes on Matt Parkinson. So I would certainly play Bashir. And for the rest, well, I don't know. I mean, Green at number 5 seems too high for me. But
yeah,
I agree with you about Banton. Didn't get many runs in his white ball cricket during the winter. Doesn't look to be in any sort of form. and maybe, you know, Green is the least worst option at number five. But it's not a batting lineup.
Do you think that's got to be on a t-shirt in the in the shop? Ben Green, the least worst option.
Well, you know, he had his chance back in the COVID year when he was opening the innings with.
Yeah, Lampard. But he's not an opener, is he? He's not an opener.
No, he's a six or seven, isn't he?
Yeah. But he's basically a bowler who bats. You know, that was his role, and now he and Aldridge are becoming batsmen who bowl, and we really need some bowlers. Yeah.
It kind of exposes the importance of Tom Abel, doesn't it? Really, yeah. it looks a much better team if he's fit in terms of solidity at the top. Otherwise, there is a risk we've got rather too many 6, 7, 8s in the batting lineup. Otherwise, difficult to disagree with anything that you said. I too would play Bashir because he's got to be full of confidence, hasn't he? And
good stuff then. So I just thought I'd leave a little pause there in case, just to make the listener think that they're downloaded frozen or something like that.
Renshaw and Dixon have both played at Canterbury, haven't they?
Yes.
Maybe that will be useful.
Renshaw didn't do at Canterbury though, did he?
No, he didn't do that.
Chris Dixon did. And he hasn't done great things for Somerset since he's not in the champ.
No.
I thought it was positive seeing Lamonby with a ball earlier on this afternoon. It was the ball in the 27th over the game. I know it's the second innings, but if Abel's not going to be playing, Abel's not going to be bowling, that left arm, I don't know if that makes a difference for Alfie Ogbourne, but just...
You'd have loved the field that Lam has had this afternoon, Gibbo. Bearing it, but you remember how he got out against Warwickshire, which had you tearing your hair out? I think Gibbo's frozen again. But Lam has started off with he started off with 3 short covers, and then it was 4. I think he ended up with 5 short covers in some sort of spoony trap, and the extra batter didn't fall for it as Lam so unfortunately did during the last game of last season.
Charlton quite well.
Yeah. And then
they'd have played a fair amount of cricket, whichever.
He kind of retired himself on 97. He did a Graham Hick on himself, and not quite sure why. Spencer interviewed him at the end of play, and he sort of said, "Why did you do that?" And he sort of kind of didn't really give an answer, did he? If you've seen that interview, so who knows? Maybe I don't know. Maybe the scoreboard was temporarily wrong for a ball or two, and he was prescribed to go off after an hour or anything, but he did play well, as did Ben Green. I haven't got much more on the Exeter uni game, Harry, unless you've got anything you want to add before we move on.
I'm just rewinding as we speak. It's gone from 3 covers and 2 slips to 4 covers and 2 slips 4 covers and 1 slip. It's cracking, but I think he knows Charlie drives on the up through the covers, and Lamonby bowls that annoying nagging, swinging length pass at off stump, so I don't mind it. But yeah, it was a good laugh. It's a good picture.
Rightio then.
No, nothing major to add.
I did watch a bit of as much of the test as I could, but I was on quite a lot of drugs in hospital for I think it was the second or third test. I can't remember which one. It was the one we lost, so it couldn't have been the first test. Whichever test was on around about the 23rd of February, and my anaesthetist was an Australian as well, so I had kind of had the game on my phone, and he would sort of poke his head around, and the other two doctors were ready to go off and see the next patient, and he was sort of sat by my bed waiting to see what happened with the DRS review. So that was sorry, got the frog in my throat again. So. Through my kind of morphine induced haze, I remember vague bits of Bashir bowling, but he got 5 for, didn't he? Bowled lots of overs, 2 fivers, bowled lots. I'll leave it to you guys because you're probably a little bit more compass mentis than I was to talk about Bashir's unexpected winter of success, shall we say.
I thought he did brilliantly. I think it was the temperament that he showed, because the pressure was enormous. as a 20-year-old unknown off-spinner coming in India against that Indian batting lineup. And they were out to get him as well. And I thought he stood up to the pressure really, really well. I was really very, very impressed by his temperament and by the way he bowled as well. And I thought it was an absolutely outstanding performance. I just think it's such a pity he's not going to get the pitches that he will need to operate successfully on during the county championship, which is, you know, it's a shame. And the ECB has got to do more to encourage counties to prepare pitches that encourage spin bowlers at times of the season when they're when it's possible to prepare spinning pitches, which in April is virtually impossible with the best will in the world. But you know, the ECB just seem to be completely obsessed with 100, not interested in anything else, and the rest of the game can go hang as long as the 100, you know, is preeminent and makes loads of money.
Kookaburra balls as well, don't forget.
I know, yeah.
Yeah, four games this year, isn't it?
Did you catch the Sky Sports podcast with Alex Stewart, where he was talking about he had a massive row with Robert Key about the Kookaburra balls? And I think Stewie pretty much handed Keyes's arse to him on a plate when it came to the rationale behind using them. He's just going, well, they'll just make the pitches greener and it doesn't make the spinners bowl more. It just means the seamers bowl less and this sort of thing. It's worth checking out. He's retired at the end of season, of course, is Alex Stewart. Yeah.
Good bloke.
I mean, he took the helm at Surrey when, you know, they were in all sorts of dire straits and everything obviously going on with sort of the tragic death of Tom Maynard, and club was in a bit of disarray, and he's you know, he's turned them into, it pains you to say it, but he's done it the right way at Surrey, hasn't he?
Yeah. Well, look what he's done to Jamie Overton.
Yeah.
Look what a cricketer Jamie Overton's become.
Yeah.
Since he joined Surrey.
I did sort of bite my tongue on the press conference, not the press, the sort of the web chat that Jamie Cox and Gordon Hollins did last week. We said there's not many cricketers leave Somerset and go on to be better players. I thought, well, Jamie Overton did, but yeah, generally we accept the point that he was more or less right in that case. I mean, he's done it in the right way. He's done it in the way that we've sort of tried to do it down here as well. Local players augmented with astute signings at the right time and a quality overseas.
Yeah. But not spinners.
Not spinners, no. Oh, where's Harry gone?
Moriarty and Birdie haven't quite done it, have they? I read something the other day about how they claim that they do have spinners because Will Jacks can spin it. But yeah, it's not. It's back to Anthony's point about pitches and wrong time of the season.
Yeah, Birdie's got to be the next big thing, and he's ended up pretty much nowhere. Moriarty's gone off to Yorkshire, is it?
Yorkshire.
Yeah. So I don't know where that leaves Don Bess. And yeah, Will Jacks is sort of more of a one-day spinner. But, you know, he'd probably end up taking 45 wickets in the championship now. Yes, the Bashir / Bess / Leach conundrum has kind of reared its ugly head again. I mean, the talk is that Bash is going to go out on loan somewhere. Now, you can't loan to a Division 1 club in September from another Division 1 club, so that means he'd have to go out somewhere, go out to Division 2 if he went in September. But I almost feel like you've sort of failed in your duty of care if you do that to a young bowler who's just finding his feet in the game. I mean, he's only 20, for goodness sakes. And then just to kind of say, oh well, we're just going to send you off to a completely different environment instead of, you know.
Well, the answer is to prepare pitches which would justify picking two spinners.
Yeah.
Mm. Which in September ought to be possible.
Unless you play in Essex.
Well, possibly, but I would have thought that Leach and Bashir would be a match for Simon Harmer.
Would it be? No, this is a left field suggestion, and don't shoot me down entirely, but given the stages of their careers, if they're both fit, would you be better off playing Bashir in the first 11 and Leach in the second 11, given that Leach, I don't know, I mean, it depends on the match. If you desperately had to win it, you'd want to play Leach. But if there was not much riding on the game in September, would you put Jack in the stiffs and give Bash a go in the first 11?
No, just so he gets that experience. Jack Leach, look at his track record, the wickets he's taken for Somerset, the matches he's won for Somerset. Mostly on turning pitches, but he's vastly experienced. He's got a great head on his shoulders. He can tie up an end on a good pitch, and he'll win you a game on a turning pitch. And you know, sure, Bashir's got huge potential, but he's no Jack Leach yet.
I totally accept that.
If it's only one spinner, it's got to be Leach.
Come on, back me up here. That'd be up here, Mr. I mean, you know, I'm not saying I can't disagree with the word that you've said there, Gil. I'm just sort of thinking long term, you know, if it's the last game of the season, like that bloody game up at Warwickshire.
Leach is only in his early 30s, and spinners will go on into their early 40s.
That's true. That is true. Well, at the anyway, it's not going to be an easy situation to resolve. And the way it resolved itself last time was one of them left. So. Got to try and avoid that as best we can. Another Leach Bess / Keyswetter / Butler situation. Right, done that. Did you catch much of the old the first silverware of the season, the Abu Dhabi Super Counties Cup?
I didn't,
on the live stream.
I watched some of the South African one when Tom Abel got the man of the match in the
Yes, that was great to see.
And then went off to Dubai and played in the final there as well, with slightly less success. And then he was heading off to Sri Lanka, I think, and he was supposed to be speaking to my West of England Cricket Society. and so I appealed to him not to go to Sri Lanka, and Tom Banton went to Sri Lanka instead. And Tom did indeed come and speak to us at Bath, and we had a huge audience, and he was brilliant.
Oh yeah, it was a very good boy, all accounts. Lots of glowing praise on social media. Was that a quick rest stop at the services, Harry, or did you lose signal?
No, sorry, signal went on. You were talking about Bashir when I left. Now we're on Abel, are we?
Now we're on the Abu Dhabi Super Counties Cup.
Oh wow! No,
3 20-20s in one day.
Was that Alfie got a forfeit, didn't he?
I'll try maybe. Abe's got a few runs in one. It was
James Thiedham did all right in one of them.
Finn Hill, and another young lad who has obviously got some fantastic cricketing pedigree. Dad was a legend of the game. Talking about young James Thiedham, of course, from the famous Thiedham cricketing dynasty of Sanford.
I captained him in second team cricket 2 years ago. And
Who, James or Matt?
And now, James, not well. I played against Matt in second team cricket 4 or 5 years ago as well. And now he's knocking on the door of Somerset, a couple of years, but it's exciting to see. So.
Yeah, Archie Vaughan as well, of course, son of Michael, had a go out in Abu Dhabi as well, along with Finn Hill. Those are the three youngsters that were there. There weren't any more, were there? I'm trying to think now.
No, I think they're the youngsters bracket, we call them now.
It was confusing the commentators because not only were they very, very slapdash with the discipline of the batting and bowling shirts being worn at the right time, but they also were lending out shirts left, right and centre to everybody. So it was quite difficult to work out who was who. But what did they win? They won 2, lost 1, didn't they? Beat Yorkshire once, lost to Yorkshire once, and they beat Notts, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Not that you read too much into that.
Some of the commentary where they were calling them all by their first names, that was quite endearing.
Yeah, the scoreboard, it was well, like Tom A and then Tom, T Banton.
Tom.
And just Finn.
It's like drums, isn't it?
Yeah, Tom. I don't know, but yeah. It makes you grateful for to realise how lucky you are with the job that Ben and his team do.
It's surprising that no one on the call was invited to go and do the commentary out there, isn't it, really?
Well, I think between the four of us, we could have done a sterling job, to be honest.
I guess if we paid our own flights, they'd jump at it.
Oh, I mean, you must have the best agent, Harry. You got picked up for the Iceland gigs and all that nonsense, so you should...
I got some stories about the Iceland gig. That turned... I've been asked to go back to Iceland, but it was a bit... Yeah, it's an interesting one. it was clashing with a One Day Cup this year. It was a bit of a shame. Didn't want to miss two One Day Cup games for it.
I mean, you could stay out there, Gibber. You could go out to sort of October, November, do the Abu Dhabi T10, and then, you know, just stay around for what's next, the ILT 20, and then there's probably a test match or two, play Afghanistan, play their home games in the Emirates, don't they? And then, you know, finish it off with the pinnacle, the Abu Dhabi Super Counties Cup.
I just find all this franchise cricket boring because it's the same lot of players playing against the same lot of players, game after game after game. I don't know. You know,
I agree. I'm getting to that stage too.
It's, yeah, you know. I've got literally. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to speak for the three of you guys as well as myself and say we all love cricket, and generally when there's cricket on the television, we'll sort of watch it for a bit. But it's just getting. I mean, I've not watched a single ball of the IPL this season. I couldn't tell you who's won or anything.
I keep thinking that I should enjoy the IPL because it does have some fabulous cricketers playing in it, but ironically, it's so slow.
Yes, it takes slower forever. Than county township cricket. Yeah,
I don't mind sitting down, and watching a day's test cricket or a session of test cricket, but if you want to watch a whole IPL game, you're talking about 4.5 hours.
Totally agree. You took the word out of the mouth. Yeah.
What they want to do is just reduce it by maybe about 20 balls an innings. I think that'll probably get it into a nice 3.5 hour window. I mean, they have done the 100 draft. We've lost. Let's have a look. We've lost 9, haven't we? Let me just tell you who's going where. Will Smead is off to the Birmingham Phoenix Club. Tom Lamonby is actually only got to make a short trip to the Yeovil Invincibles. Craig Overton is a Southern Brave man again. Lewis Gregory is a Trent Rocket man along with Tom Banton, and joining Fireman Sam, Station Officer Steele and Elvis Cridlington as the Welsh Fireman, we've got Tom Abel, Jake Ball, Tom Kohler Cadmore and the greatest player in the world, Roloff van der Merwe. Jake Ball, I was slightly surprised at being picked up given his sort of slightly patchy record over the last few years or so, but I think it's because he's got a good delivery height, you see. That seems to be how we pick players these days. So they're off to the 100. Ben Green not picked up in the first round of draft picks, but I'm sure he'll be off in the whatever they call it after the blast, where they have another go. Else have we got to discuss? It feels like it's been a long winter, and what have we missed? What else is on the agenda? Says me with the agenda sat in front of me, which I've kind of only sort of half done. Yes, I got contracts. And I guess the big one is Tom Banton, who's expires this year. So expiring this year, we have got Will Smead, Sonny Baker, Lewis Goldsworthy, Tom Banton, Jack Leach, Ned Leonard, Alfie Ogbourne and George Thomas. Of course, Matt Renshaw's overseas contract expires anyway. So the big two there are obviously Lewis Goldsworthy and Tom Banton. Are they both
probably
staying
for the same spot?
Are they both leaving, or is one staying and one leaving? And if so, whom?
I'd be surprised if they both stay.
Yeah.
Well, it's all to play for.
I think it just depends on what sort of seasons they have.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we know they've both got the potential, but if they don't realise their potential, then they're better off going somewhere else.
I just wonder if Banton is maybe trying to make himself into a player he's not. I mean, you know, he's hardly played any red ball cricket at all over the last few years. I mean, you know, I think for me, he was coming along really nicely in 2019. Then COVID hit, and he was stuck in all these England bubbles, and he never played any red ball cricket. And then since then, they opened the batting with him, and he's been in and out of the side at five. And
I'd like to see Somerset do with Banton what McCullum and Stokes have done with Zach Crawley, which is to say, you know, go out there, we'll pick you for, you know, 5-6 games, go out and play your natural game. in the middle order, and you know, take the attack to the bowlers. If it doesn't work out, well, it doesn't work out. But we believe in you. We believe you've got what it takes. I think he needs that confidence, communicating to him to bring the best out of him. And if it doesn't work, well, you know, he'd be better off moving on somewhere else. But I'd like to see him being given a really good chance to play his natural game, as he did at Chelmsford. You know, the last serious innings he played for Somerset, the back end of 2022, when he came in as a concussion substitute, and he did play his natural game, and he got 100, and a lovely 100 it was to watch as well.
I mean, one of the best shots he plays is that reverse hockey flick over backward point.
Yeah,
that you just watch that and you think that is such a difficult shot to play. Ball coming at you 80-85 mile an hour, and you've got to switch the bat round in your hand. You're playing across the line, and it's just, you've got to have such good hand eye to do that.
And imagine doing that to someone like a Bass for Hampshire, who ties everyone else up and knocks, but he could be the pace that Banton just says, I'll just reverse sweep it, or whatever you want to call it.
And I think, I mean, I'm not saying he should go out and try and reverse hockey flick everything in a championship game, but at the same time, I'm saying he shouldn't be afraid to go out and try and reverse hockey flick everything in a championship game. Yeah. Because that was his
Tom Banton's another one who has scored a fair few runs at Canterbury. Not in the county championship, but you know, if you wanted to him to have a go somewhere.
Well, yeah, he seems to get 100
where you
every
say,
time
look,
he
we've
plays,
seen you do this before. West has seen a couple of centuries, haven't we? Big scores from him.
Well, he got 100 against Kent at Taunton and 100 in the 50 over, and then he got 100 against Kent down at Canterbury in the Fox.
Yeah, on Sky, wasn't it? If you score 100 in the Fog and a 220, you can do it anywhere.
Yeah.
And I remember Banton, the 260-odd quarter-final against Derbyshire a couple of years ago. I think he was facing the first over, and he was really struggling to get it away. I can't remember who was bowling. And then his release shot was that reverse hockey flick, and he just stuck it in the Somerset stand for six, and that just kick-started the game. And I just wonder if he would be afraid to do that in a championship game.
Well, that's why I think he should be given a license to play his natural game. But, you know, by Kerr and Hurry. You
know, and at the
moment, I think he's conflicted. Just like Joss Butler was when he played for Somerset.
Oh, yeah, that's
he couldn't
a great example.
Make up his mind whether he was a red ball cricketer or a white ball cricketer. His instinct was telling him one thing, and his coach standing on his shoulder,
Joss would get out to balls in Test cricket that he could hit for six in three or four different places in a one-day game.
Yeah. If you come in at five or six, though, you don't want it to be 20 for three or 28 for four, which is what it's been too often in the past, hasn't it? And that's what was so impressive about James Roo last year, that, you know, he was constantly coming in at times like that and getting his head down and scoring and runs. If you're coming in at 28 for four and told play your natural game, it's quite difficult when your game is what Tom Banton's is. So these things are sort of compounding on one another to make it doubly difficult.
But I think if you're trying to make yourself into a player that you're not, to get yourself out of a situation, do you know what I mean? Like you say you're 28 for four and Tom Banton walks in. What would you want him to do? Try and restrain himself from I don't want to say pretend to be a Red Bull player, because that's the wrong thing to say. But would you want him to come in and start leaving the ball and, you know, or just poke at a few because he thinks he needs to play defensively? Or would you think, oh God, I know the way that Tom Banton plays in Red Bull cricket. He plays the same as he does in Red Bull cricket. Right, well, he could play that reverse hockey flick there and stick me over third man.
I just think it's really difficult. Whatever. If you tell someone to play their natural game and they're coming in that situation and it's 28 for four and then they do your hockey shot or the reverse sweep and we all go crazy and say what a ridiculous shot to play in that sort of situation. And actually, it's the people above who haven't played their natural games that have created the condition, which is, as I say, have made it doubly impossible.
But
for him,
with white ball cricket as well, you're always looking at where the fielders are. And, you know, you know, and I would give Banton credit enough to not play that reverse hockey flick if there was a deep point and a third man. You know, it's a bit like TKC's shot to get out against Essex at Chelmsford, yeah, where he, you know, with the boundary was about 3 miles long, there was two or three deep mid wickets out there, and he decided to try and clear all of them and stuck it down one of them straight when the, you know, the percentage play would have been to knock it, just knock it for one or two.
That was hubris. Hubris.
Hubris, is that who caught it?
H-U-B-R-I-S.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant that was his name. Sorry.
Hubris.
But I think going back to Banton, I think James Drew's a good point. It's not going to happen. James Drew's going to stay at six. But like we keep saying, Ben Green's a spot too high. I'd love to see James Drew at four or five, which isn't normal for a wicketkeeper, I know, and it's not going to happen. But a young lad who's as fit as James Drew, and you don't, with rain in April, and you don't actually have to keep for long sessions in the dirt. It's not like you're in 35 degrees all day knackering yourself. I'd love to see James Drew could bat a three or four and keep. That's a lot to ask, I know, but with Abel,
well, why don't you give Banton the gloves?
Well, yeah, that's another option. They can share it.
Give Banton the gloves. He's a perfectly competent keeper.
Yeah, I'm not against that. I think Banton would be beneficial while, when TKC's away. I think actually the injury to Abel and TKC with the IPL could be like a last chance saloon, big chance for Goldsworthy and Banton, who we've all admitted have disappointed us in the next university game, but it's still only a 3-day game in warm up. You can't read masses into it. They two are probably going to get a chance, probably both of them against Kent if Abel's injured. So Goldsworthy, I think, has got about three. And Banton, whether it's four, five or six, hopefully there's a little bit of a platform for him to play his natural game, and then he can be the TKC aggressor. You can always have one person who goes out and tries to whack it and play his natural game. Ben Green can do either option. So I think that's a positive in this, in that Banton can be TKC for 5 weeks, maybe.
I think we're talking Banton into the team. If the fact that Jake Ball didn't take a wicket hasn't led us to say, therefore, he absolutely mustn't play in this game. But because Banton has not scored any runs in this game, automatically there's a sort of assumption, therefore, he's out of form. I don't know. I mean, we've always talked about
the ceiling with Banton, isn't he? When he first came in, he'd play all the shots like Peterson would play all the shots, you know, and I think we generally thought there was a better than 50-50 chance that he could well be at four or five in an England team of some description at this stage in his career, and he's, you know, for whatever reason, I mean, let's be honest as well, the signing of Cola Cadmore a couple of years ago has put another blocker on him as well. I mean, don't get wrong, TKC is a fantastic player, but if you're looking in terms of the progression of Banton's career, it's certainly stood in his way.
Yeah.
Right, let's pop over to X.
We just had a new one about Banton. Another one, but we've talked about Banton.
Oh, we've got so many about Banton, haven't we?
Yeah, we've had
Matt, how much longer can we keep hold of Banton if he doesn't hold out a place in the county team? And if he isn't a county team, where'd you put him in the order? Oh, four or five, give him license. There we are. We're all in.
Agreed.
Now, this is where people have kind of hijacked the thread and started having their own conversations. So I do find it difficult to keep tabs on anyone.
I've tried not to reply to anyone today. David been too complicated, yeah.
Right, Alex Simpson says, how important is it that old Ned Leonard and Casey Aldridge have breakthrough seasons with the ball? Yes, very important.
Yeah.
I mean, old Ned Leonard's out of contract at the end of the season, but I think I'm liking what I've seen in both on the streams from the Abu Dhabi Super Counties Cup. Oh, did you see, just going off at a tangent a minute, did you see Warwickshire's April Fool on X? And all their socials? Well, they won that, and they were saying they were going to have an open top bus parade leaving Edgbaston at 11:30 on April the 1st to parade the Abu Dhabi Super Counties Cup around Birmingham. And of course, people, I still don't get how people don't remember that it's April the 1st when they sort of see these things. And you had these, you know, hundreds of bears like, oh, it's not a bloody proper competition, what are you doing that for? Anyway, I had a couple of good suggestions for April Fools for Ben, but he wouldn't let me do them on the live stream, which is a bit What's the official? Is there an official April Fool's policy at the club, Mr. President? Does it have to go through several levels of compliance and approvals before?
I don't know. I would have thought Ben would be in charge of that. I think you went to the right place, and I think he probably took a sensible decision.
I'm not going to say what my ideas are because I'm going to try and keep them for next year.
You have a good track record of fooling the BBC cricket correspondent from time to time, I think. So you get your amusement through the season. You don't have to restrict yourself to April the 1st.
I tell you what, my proudest ever April Fool was it was when I in the office this girl had her son had made this blue porcelain mug out at, I think, House of Marbles or wherever it was in Birmingham. She was so proud of it as a tea mug. And I was sort of throwing it up and down, sort of catching it as we do as cricketers with literally oranges or anything like that that we can. She was like, "Don't you dare break that mug, Sheps. Don't you dare break that mug. And anyway, it smashed on the kitchen floor. What she thought it was, what I'd actually done is got a blue marker pen and just done one of those, you know, I think it's Close Premium Finance and sent us about 50 mugs. Oh, that was the best one ever. Anyway, let's go back to Alex's question. Do you think Bantam will be given a proper chance in the Caddies Championship? Which of the youngsters are most likely to have a breakthrough season? Ogbourne, etc. I think we pretty much answered that. Andy Cleave, what's the definition of the word imminent as in relation to the second overseas who Sarge is deep in negotiations with? Spencer remained tight-lipped in the press box yesterday, as did
Michael Barber who used the word imminent
in
the members forum thing.
Yes, I mean, imminent is, I suppose, in astronomical terms, imminent is could mean several thousand years.
In Michael's sort of world, the general election is imminent, but that, you know, that could well take place at the end of the cricket season.
We're going to have somebody in for the Hampshire game, last game of the season. Andy Cleewell says, do you think we are underprepared? One friendly and home condition against students rather than a first class county team leaves me a little unconvinced. It could have been, we could have, I presume, because we normally play Glamorgan and Gloucester. We haven't played the university team in the last few years. So,
I mean, I think there was real nervousness, wasn't there, about the outfield, up to and including having the first two games away. And as it turns out, it was in a state where we could probably have played a bit more cricket on it if we'd chosen to. But that would have been a gamble.
Because the outfield who did we play last year? Glamorgan and Gloucester, I think, didn't we? We played Glamorgan at home. It wasn't the Gloucester game, total washout. But anyway, the boundary for that Glamorgan game was...
Yeah.
It was sort of squashed hexagon, only using about a third of the outfield.
So I just don't... I mean, we only see what we see on the pitch, don't we? But I don't think anyone is under any illusions that it's vitally important that we get a much better start this season than we've done in previous seasons. There's a pattern of slow starts, so we need to be prepared. And some of that is mental, and some of that is physical, and some of that is technical. And we've seen the technical, and I haven't watched any of the game against Exeter, and it's slightly unconvincing, but mentally and physically, let's hope we're good to go. And we were saying, you know, it's not so long ago, I think we were last on this podcast, and we were saying, oh, it's good to start at Kent and good to play Surrey early, because there are some really strong teams in this league. I mean, we haven't talked about who's going to win the county championship, but there's sort of three or four really strong sides.
They absolutely
walked
the second division, didn't they?
Yeah, Durham are going to be tough.
They look good,
Hampshire always good, Surrey are always good.
Essex have got Elgar.
Essex, boo. Yeah. Worcester, Warwickshire, Surrey, Somerset. I should remember who's in Division 1. Lancashire, Nottinghamshire, Hampshire, Kent, Durham and Essex. So yeah, Durham and Worcester.
Worcestershire at the weakest link, you'd have thought. But I know I've said this before, but the one absolutely essential thing is that we don't get relegated. Yeah. We cannot afford to get relegated with all the stuff that's going on at the moment about the future of Kent cricket and franchises and all the rest of it.
We have to be at the top table of English cricket. Where have I heard that? I'm sure
we have.
Some fella says that quite a lot. I can't remember his name.
Yeah. Yeah. But we do have to be.
I mean, we're a funny side. Because I think we could equally win it just as much as we could go down. You know, I mean, you look at the side. Lowerby could have a season like he had in 2020. Sean Dixon is a proven run scorer, albeit he had a pretty crap 2023. Tom Abel is brilliant and, you know, relieved of the shackles of captaincy, could go and have a 1,500-1,600 run season. Matt Renshaw could easily bag 300 or 400 in the 7 games before he goes. James Rue could have another fantastic season. Lewis Gregory is an international class all-rounder. Ben Green could have a breakthrough season, as could Casey Aldridge. Craig Overton and Josh Davey are proven county championship performers, as is Jack Leach.
Yeah.
There's a side that could quite easily win the championship.
I agree with you.
And there's a side that could quite easily implode and go down. So
who knows? When our expectations are at their lowest, that's when Somerset could very well do it.
So,
I do worry about the bowling, honestly, because to win a game of cricket, you've got to take 20 wickets. And
I'm not saying the bowl is not quite a house of cards. You just feel it needs.
Yeah,
it's that overseas signing. It's going to be.
It needs a Matt Henry. Needs a Matt Henry.
Yeah, he's off to the IPL now.
Mm.
He's replaced Willie, which sounds quite painful. But anyway, moving on. Right. Do we have any other business then before we bring our season premiere to a close? This is our fifth season now. Flown by. Flown by. Right. So you're going to be.
Except to wish all the lads the very best of luck for the whole season.
To wish Lewis Gregory and the team the very best of luck now.
Yeah, indeed. And good, bad or indifferent, we'll be with them all the way.
Yeah, definitely. That's what it's all about, being a follower of the Dragon.
I shall see you in Canterbury, Anthony, on Friday.
I'll look forward to it, Peter.
Seek you out wherever you are. I'm not quite sure where the commentary box is, actually. Yeah.
It's in the... it's not the Frank Woolley stand. It's the one next to it in the bottom right-hand corner. But I know where you'll be, so we'll meet up.
Yeah, definitely. Excellent. My Kent-supporting son will be put somewhere. I'm not quite sure where, but, he's always a bit of an embarrassment on these occasions.
Oh, I'm a great fan of Daniel Bell Drummond, so
that's funny because Doug Gibson says he is as well in the cricket paper. He says Kent's Daniel Bell Drummond, and he went to school in Somerset.
Yeah, he's the captain, isn't he, this season? And
he scored a few
runs pre-season as well. So
he's a good guy.
Is Crawley playing? I presume he would be, would he not?
He'd be available, I would think. Yeah.
Yeah. He hasn't been playing in the warm-up, so
they're a much better batting side than bowling side, I would say.
Yeah.
And they've gone from having 4 of the best 10 keepers in England the last 3 or 4 years to having none, which is a bit daft. But good luck to Harry Finch with the gloves.
Yeah.
Are you making your way down to Canterbury as well, Harry, or are you watching from afar?
I would like to, but I am going to go to the Oval for the Friday the 12th, so I might see Mr. Wanless there for a day.
I'll be there for that. Afterwards. Yeah.
There you go. Just a day trip for me, and then we're all into.
You just got to say hello to Pete Gibbo. You can sit up there with Mark Church and not be greeted by Harry. I'd have thought you'd have tried to wangle yourself a little shift on the radio, Harry.
Maybe. I'm doing a bit of BBC live text county commentary, which is quite cool this year. So I'm doing that in the football in the winter. So I'll be inserting Anthony's lunchtime and evening thoughts into their county championship live feed.
Good man.
Good stuff. Yeah. Right.
Very good.
Let's knock it on the head then. We'll keep it under an hour for our season premiere. I think I might be forced to invite Don Topley on for a preview of the Essex game in a few weeks' time. So I'll have to book out about 4 hours in my diary for that one and maybe get a new hard drive so the recording doesn't fill up the existing one. But we shall see. Anywho's. Right. Well, safe right. travels.
Yep,
safe travels to Canterbury, Gibbo. Safe travels down the road, Mr. President. And Harry, safe travels on your way back to Willand this evening. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch up with you in a week's time.